All right. Well, here we go. We are live. Welcome to another Wisco Fanatics Tuesday evening. We're going to be recapping the Packers' absolute beatdown of the 49ers, which Brian was in attendance for. And then we are going to preview the Packers game against the Dolphins on Thanksgiving, which is just 2 days away. So very close to Packers football. So short week. And let's recap and preview.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucs, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All right, so like I mentioned, Brian was in attendance for the Packers game against the 49ers. How was that being there live?
It was a lot of fun, man. It's a butt whooping. I mean, there's a couple times where it's like, you know, the Christian Watson drop, and a couple times you're like, oh, hopefully don't let them get momentum, but they just never let it happen. I mean, people that are complaining about it, it was never close. I mean, we dominated them. Yeah, we were a little disjointed. Our people want to complain, oh, he only threw for 100-something yards. It's not his fault that the defense gave them three very short fields and they capitalized each time. I mean, what do you want to do? No. Let us take it back to the 20 so we can gain more yards to make the people that watch the stat box feel better about themselves.
Like, yes.
Also, and pay no attention to the man behind the number 8 jersey.
Yeah.
All righty. So we're going to recap this game in full. We're going to start with Simon and his thoughts. Welcome back, Simon, by the way.
Hello.
And his thoughts on the defensive scheme.
Hold on, I was about to look some up, but I think this is just kind of like what we're gonna see the rest of the year. Kind of just Jeff Hafley setting up the illusion that we're rushing a bunch of people and then just dropping people into a normal like cover two, cover three look, like we have like some pretty basic zone coverages. Like he had McKinney had 20 box snaps this week, which is a lot for free safety. And he didn't rush the passer one time, which was kind of surprising to see. But I think there's always that. I mean, he's done it, though. Like, you'll see Quay Walker had a bunch of pass rushes this week. And he actually had a couple pressures, too. And I'm sure we'll talk about Quay Walker a ton this show, too.
Oh, yeah. All right, so Jake, you can start with the pass rush. Just what did you see from the Packers in the pass rush?
I thought it was pretty good, everything considered. We played a lot of cover two, like Simon was saying. In my opinion, the reason that McKinney was down there in the box more is because they didn't really have the ability to stretch the ball down the field. You know, leaving Kittle one-on-one with, you know, name your defender, doesn't matter.
Valentine.
It was a lot of people, but – also having McKinney be able to guard McCaffrey on that fourth down, that was big time man coverage by him. But in terms of pass rush, the Packers had two sacks, one for Rashawn Gary, who has been heating up over the last couple of weeks. He's been really, really good since the Preston Smith trade. And Lucas Van Ness, who forced a fumble on a sack. What a play from Hercules himself. Something that not only he needed, not only this team needed, not only this front four needed, but the fans needed it very badly. A lot of the fan base cooled down a little bit after he made that play. They're like, oh, my God. Obviously, there's going to be people that are going to be critical of everything that happens. But you just kind of ignore those kind of people. The people with brains that actually enjoy football and watch football, seeing him week in and week out, the only way to get better is to play more, right? And I don't want to ruin anything, but that's kind of my same opinion on Christian Watson with dropping a pass. But that's neither here nor there. You just need more reps at it. That's just how it is. And then in terms of hits, Devontae Wyatt and Clark had one each. In terms of hurries, it's a laundry list. It's a Costco list of players who were involved in this. You go through the hurries. Quay Walker and Rashawn Gary led the way with two apiece. Then you got Van Ness, Enigbare, Wyatt, Brenton Cox Jr., Isaiah McDuffie, take a deep breath, TJ Slayton, Aaron Mosby, Eric Wilson, and Kenny Clark all produced hurries. So people look at one section of pass rush, and that's sacks, and they think that's all that matters. But then you go through all the players, literally basically everybody that was able to rush the passer this week, besides the defensive backs, forced a hurry.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane. Now, there's something that I was supposed to go over that Simon found. I wanted to
heard
about it. Let me see if I can find that again. Where'd you put that?
Talk about the stat that we shared on the page.
Yeah, here it is. I didn't have room on my paper to write it down, so I was like, I'm just gonna go back into the chat and read it. So it says pass rush win rate since the Smith trade, minimum 20 pass rush snaps. LVN at 21.1%, 6 out of 83 edge. Rashawn Gary at 18.8%, 15th, so two top 15 guys. Kingsley Anagbare is at 8.8%, he is 50th. And Brenton Cox is at 4.2%, 6 out of 83, which you would expect a guy who doesn't get a lot of playing time. But 4% for a guy who basically was in street clothes a couple of weeks ago, put him on the field, and he's winning 4% of pass rush wins. I mean, that's pretty dang good. So good job by Simon finding that. Thank you. And I thought the pass rush was good this week. We're going to need it to be really good versus Tua. It's going to be a whole different monster. Yeah.
And that's a really good way to transition into the defensive line. Brenton Cox, you mentioned him. I think he's obviously played very, very limited snaps. I think he's still got a little bit of work to do setting the edge and defending the run. But again, that's one of those things where you need some experience and playing time. Lucas Van Ness played just 18 out of the 43 snaps, made a splash play, and had a run stop. So that's good to see him, you know, making plays in a limited amount of snaps. Rashawn Gary had two run stops and forced a fumble. Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt had two pressures each. And then looking at Brandon Allen, what the Packers were able to do to him under pressure, he was just 2 for 9. That's 22.2% under pressure by the Packers. Just really good job by the defensive line. Bryant, what did you see from the linebackers and the Packers as a whole on tackling?
This was easily Quay's best game of the season, and possibly his career. If he secures that interception, it's his career game so far for the Packers. You know, he needs. We'll start with the bad first, and then we'll eat our dessert or whatever you want to say. Yeah, he needs to make that pick. That's a negative play against him. It's not like he went crazy like last week where he ranged across the middle field. I know I gave him a hard time. You still want to make that pick. That's a lot harder pick than what he would have had here. It hit him right in the you know, hands and the face mask. Like, it's a huge play at a point in the game. You know, it's earlier in the game. He could have, you know, ultimately didn't matter, but it still could have been a big play for him. It would have been nice, really confidence booster. But aside from that, I mean, he looked faster. He looked like he was making decision better. He was getting to the ball carrier or the receiver a lot quicker. He had 3 passes thrown against him, only 1 completion for 5 yards. And when it was complete, he was pretty much tackling him right away. He had a couple tackles for loss. He had a couple hurries like Jake talked about. He had 4 run stops. On top of that, at first I was like, oh, why didn't Quay get the sack? You go back and watch it. Actually, Gary stripped it. It was a fumble. It's just that Brandon Allen picks it up really quick. So good on Quay to tackle him behind the line, because that doesn't happen, then doesn't get that sack or whatever. So, you know, Gary gets that sack.
Is that the one that Gary fell down on too, that he like fell down and then got back up and then tackled Allen?
Yep, he slipped and then got back up and tackled him.
Yeah, good motor on that play.
Honestly, you could tell he was moving more fast. His really good plays against McCaffrey around the line of scrimmage. So just good job there. You know, there's not much to talk about with McDuffie, Wilson. They just played their games. It was fine, nothing big. McDuffie did allow 3 passes for like 55 yards against them, so not great in coverage. Unfortunately, he did hurt his ankle. Do you guys know how many? If you looked already, don't guess. But how many tackles do you think we missed this game?
I do know the number, so I'm not going to say anything.
What'd you say, Dan?
6.
Simon?
4.
2. The team as a total missed 2 tackles this entire game. So that's pretty damn good. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know why this is. Every team watches tape coming into our field and they come with the wrong cleats. And I hope Miami is stupid enough to do it again. I don't know if they just think, oh, we're not them. We'll be better. But hopefully they're dumb enough to come with the mold of cleats the first half of the game or whatever, you know, because they got a couple speedsters. So, but you could just see that Green Bay was not slipping nearly. Like Brandon Allen slipped on a couple throws. I mean, you've seen some of the receivers and stuff catch coming or slip coming out of their breaks, stuff like that. So, so good on them just to be ready and not miss those tackles and stuff. So,
you want to know something? Tom Brady actually talked about that during the game. And he was they showed examples of the different kind of cleats that the receivers wear. And the reason they don't want to make them is because they can't make quick cuts. Yeah. But, you know, you gotta just do what's right for the team and just be able to stay on your feet because you're hurting your team at that point.
Yeah.
So good point by you. You didn't even watch the game and you pulled that up. So nice
job. He was sitting up behind us not too far, and I tried to yell nice things to him, but I don't think he could hear me.
I'm sure it was really nice things, yeah.
All right, Jake, how did the Packers do on third and fourth down?
Third and fourth down, actually, they did fantastic, holding them to 3 for 10. So very good job by the Green Bay Packer defense. I've had almost zero complaints about the third down defense all year. I think they've been pretty consistent, getting people off the field, three downs, giving the offense the ball back plenty of times. The 49ers went 0 for 5 on third and longs, 0 for 1 on fourth down. They got two of their three conversions on third and medium. We also got a sack on a third and medium. Our interception that we got from Xavier McKinney was on a third and long. And the one third and short that they converted was their third and goal from the 3 where they threw a touchdown pass to George Kittle. But other than that, they didn't get many opportunities from down and distance situations that were advantageous to them. So good job of the Packers, you know, first of all, holding them out of position to get easy first down opportunities and then getting them off the field. That's how it's done.
You brought up something that I forgot that I noticed when I was watching some of it was Quay, that one play, he didn't get charged against it, but I thought touchdown pass against Kittle, he should have follow him a little more deeper into the end zone. He kind of stayed up front, but McCaffrey was right there as well. So that's he got put in a really tough position. So yeah. that was one close one, but you know, but sometimes a really smart play caller like Kyle Shanahan will put you in really tough positions and you don't. So,
and I think Evan Williams went like a couple steps too far to his left too. Cause yeah. I think it was, I don't remember if it was Bullard or McKinney that was next to him, but the next closest player to his left was a Packer. So I felt he could have kind of stayed a little bit more in the middle of the field as well.
And they would have passed off
a little bit better. But it's George Kittle and it's Kyle Shanahan's offense. So, like, they're going to get all pro players open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simon, how did you feel about the secondary?
Apparently that was the only all pro player open that game.
Yep.
yeah. I thought this was Bullard's best game as a pro so far, too. I thought he played pretty exceptional. Allowed 3 catches on 4 targets for only 18 yards, but it seemed like he was kind of right there every time they caught the ball. He almost came up with an interception that got completed to Jennings on the right side of the field. Nixon, I thought maybe this was his best game of the season too. He wasn't targeted this game, if anyone in the secondary isn't targeted, we take those every single day of the week. And he came up with a huge fumble on McCaffrey where he sprinted down the field and got in on the tackle, punched the ball out, and forced another turnover. I thought Williams played okay too. Minus what we just talked about with him in the red zone versus Kittle. Thought maybe he was a little out of position. I honestly didn't look back at the play, but you know, it is what it is. Like you said, Kittle's going to get his. He's still a solid player. I think Valentine was kind of picked on a little bit. He allowed a couple of big completions, but that was kind of it.
Yeah, that fourth down play by McKinney, dude, that was such a sick play when you watch it. Like him and the cornerback on the outside, him had like perfect communication because you see the cornerback keep going and McCaffrey sprint down towards – I mean, McKinney sprint down towards McCaffrey and make that play.
So, yeah. Jake, how did the Packers' defense do in the red zone?
So, they did give up 100% of you know, drives into the end zone and touchdowns, but it was only one attempt. So honestly, you can't be that mad at it. Allen hit Debo for 21 yards to get to the 18-yard line to set up this red zone drive. And from the 18, they handed it off to CMC for 2 yards. Second and 8, Allen to Jennings for 7. Third and 1, we got a false start. The right guard for San Francisco had a rough day. Three or four false starts by him. Third and 6, Allen to Kittle for 10. First and goal from the 4, they handed it off to CMC. Second and goal was an incomplete pass. And then third and goal was that touchdown to George Kittle I talked about. I was going to stick up for Quay and say that everybody was saying that it was all his fault. In my opinion, that was more Evan Williams. I agree with everything that you guys said. He needs the one to pick that up. Quay Walker sees an all-pro, a guy who was looked at as maybe the best player in the NFL last year in front of him. And you know that they're limited on offense. They're going to try to get him the ball. So Quay's put in a spot where he has to take CMC. I'm sorry. That's just – you see that guy, you're like, I'm going to go cover him. Imagine if he would have turned around and ran away and then it was just an easy little drop off to CMC. Then I would have been mad at Quay. But
that's fair.
I mean, honestly, other than that, I mean, again, it only allowed him to get there one time. So good job. Do that again.
Yeah, and I'd much rather him have to make the throw over Quay's head yep. into the back of the end zone versus yep. right in front of him and let him walk yep. in. So yep. that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, Brian, how did you feel about special teams?
Good. I mean, Whelan averaging 49 yards a punt or 48.8 on 5 punts is pretty damn good. Reed had a couple good returns. Anytime the San Francisco thought they had a good return, it was like pretty clear penalties on them. You can't even go and say, oh, that was ticky tacky there. I mean, it was plain as day. And then Brandon McManus to come out there and drill a 51 yarder. It was hard to see on TV. It was definitely windy out. It was windy there. You could feel the breeze kicking up from time to time. And then I don't think it was raining. It wasn't raining quite yet when, or whatever you wanted to call it. It was like mist, rain, snow mixture when he kicked that. But the wind was definitely up. So good on him to hit that 51 yarder. You could see when, like, for example, when they kicked to Debo that direction, how strong the wind was going that direction because he couldn't even get it out of. I don't think he was meaning to kick to Debo, but it was hard to get the ball into the end zone from that going that direction. So good job on the special teams. With, once again, another game with really no mistakes. So, knock on wood, that's been the case.
Yeah. Looking at the coaching, I think the play calling in this game was much better by Matt LaFleur against a really good defense, using the run to set up the pass. And yes, even without Bosa, the 49ers are still good at defense. They still have the best linebacker in football, Fred Warner, and they still have D'Amador Lenore, who's a really good corner. And other than that, as far as coaching is concerned, the Packers won 38-10. Yes, injuries are a factor, but injuries single-handedly do not make up for a 28-point margin of victory. They're still NFL players. They still have CMC. They still have Kittle. They still have Debo. They have several all-pro players at several important positions and still have very good defensive players on their team. So, yes, injuries are a factor, but it's not a thing where the 49ers can just crumple it up, throw it over their shoulder, and say, we have no problems. We only lost because of players that were hurt. So, other than this, I'm going to throw this into the coaching as well. Bryant already mentioned that the Packers only had 2 missed tackles. Do you guys know how many the 49ers had?
Well, 16. I know that Josh Jacobs had, like...
he forced 15 in the first half.
Yeah, my bad. You're right.
PFF only credited Josh Jacobs with 12 missed tackles. That's cool.
Oh, okay. I'll say
only 12.
18. I'll say 18.
I'll say 21.
19.
19. Oof.
Wow. You got to think, that's like
– the 49ers missed 19 tackles.
You got to think, we didn't run that many offensive plays that game either.
We run 60 exactly how many or so. They ran 40.
They really?
Ran 40 plays?
Yeah.
40? No.
They ran 40-something plays.
Packers ran 67 plays.
Oh, okay. I thought it was less than that. I felt like the short position. Okay.
Yeah, still the amount of plays they ran, Jake, was why when you were talking about the hurry numbers, I was like, damn, that must have been like.
Oh, they did run 43 plays.
20-something, 30% of their pass plays they were hurried on. Maybe more, probably, I bet you.
Dang, man. Took him 7 plays in the red zone, bro. That's crazy, bro. God damn.
Yeah. So overall, as far as the coaching is concerned, pretty pleased. No complaints on any parts of the ball. I saw people complaining about Halfley running too much zone, or this is Joe Barry's defense that Jeff Halfley's playing. You think about how many injuries Packers have, especially at the cornerback position and obviously the linebacker positions. They played more zone defense this game to kind of help cover up for that. Cody said that we should give them some slack because they were missing Bosa. So yeah, 2 yards of carry. Yeah. Anyway, Cody will appreciate that. If we go to the offensive side of the ball, Simon, how did you feel about the tight ends?
Yeah, pretty good. I thought Tucker Kraft catching another touchdown off the tight end screen. Great call by Matt LaFleur. And yeah. Also, great job on Tucker Kraft running over Josh Myers. That shit was funny to me.
That shit was hilarious, bro.
I was like, God damn, dude. You ran over.
Move.
What's that? Oh, yeah, move. Ben Sims had 29 snaps, but he only ended up on running plays. He didn't have a catch. John Fitzpatrick, who is one of those guys like we kind of like forget is on the roster, he had a catch for 2 yards, and I thought they fared pretty okay in the run blocking game. I don't think they were asked to do a ton because we ran a lot of like inside zone stuff.
Yeah, love Fitzpatrick getting his first catch. That was awesome.
Yeah, love it.
Bryant, how did you feel about the wide receivers?
Yeah, I thought Dobbs was having a really good game before he got hurt. He had like 3 huge catches on third down. That's why we're going to miss him this week. I can't anticipate him playing. I wouldn't want them to play him, to be honest, 4 days after a concussion.
Yeah.
I did notice it seemed like he wanted to help, like, okay, get me up or whatever, but they told him to stay down, so... you know, hopefully it wasn't super severe. I know he was at their walkthrough today, but anyways, but yeah, he had a really good game. You know, I thought Jaden Reed had it, you know, didn't have a huge game, but he had a couple nice, really nice plays. You know, it was nice to see Dontavian Wicks step in pretty much the same kind of route, make the same kind of play that you seen Dobbs making earlier in the game, the slants in the middle of the field, getting open. And he took that one catch for 25 yards. Obviously, Christian Watson had the big drop. That's painful, but that is his first drop of the year, okay? It is a big drop. It sucks. It's one everyone's going to remember. Could have put the nail in the coffin, essentially, and let people rest before this Thursday. Yes. Don't forget, essentially, the first drive, the Packers drive of the second half or whatever, after they get 49ers get a field goal or whatever it was, Christian Watson also breaks up an interception. So he makes a, you know... He made some plays. He made some blocking plays. Give him a little slack. I know it sucks. He's probably beating himself up a lot, but that was his first drop of the season. It's not like it's been an issue this season. Does he have to catch it? Absolutely.
I think a little bit more of the magnification of that drop goes because the Packers as a team lead the NFL in drops.
Yeah.
So then when Watson has one drop, it's like, oh, here we go. Here's another drop, and it's the first time that Christian Watson has had it.
The people talking about, oh, well, Love's numbers weren't good. Dude, shut the hell up. If Watson catches that ball, he's over 203 touchdowns. I'll just say that. Just stop. And there was another drop by Dobbs.
Dobbs had one, too.
So, and that one almost got intercepted,
too. He's a little bit behind him. They're NFL players, okay? They need to catch that ball.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had the dumbest argument with someone over drops, like, by players that are, like, behind them. He's like, no, you don't understand. It's the momentum, dude. I was like, bro,
you see other players and other teams make them all the time. They need to catch them. Okay.
It was a catchable ball, dude.
Yeah.
Like, would it have been a little more challenging? Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
But it wasn't even high or low. It was right. Yeah. It was just behind him. You know what
it
I mean?
It was his hip. It was right on his hip.
Yeah.
So. It wasn't that bad.
It's a ball that Romeo Dobbs would tell you that he should catch.
Yeah. And PFF also credited it as a drop.
Jordan Love's numbers. If Jordan Love has those 2 passes caught, he finishes about 220-ish yards, 15 of 22, which is 68%, with 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Bum.
That would be beautiful numbers. I would take that every single game.
You cannot complain about the Christian Watson drop, but then blame Jordan Love for having not huge numbers. Like, you can't do both.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
So,
it's a lesson in context. Let's say that.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is give Christian Watson some slack. He's done some good things this year. He dropped that ball. Yes, you need to catch that 100%. Like, he has to catch that. But hopefully he gets it out of the system right now. And then, you know, he made up for it in my eyes a little bit with stopping a turnover that could have changed the momentum of the game a little bit. So, good play by him on that one.
I just want to throw one more thing out there on Watson. It's like, yes, he had the drop this week, but I'm going to completely ignore the two contested catches that he made the week before against Chicago. One of them in double coverage.
You want to know how I phrased it? I said, do the Packers win the game against Chicago without Christian Watson? No.
Hell no.
Do they win the game against San Francisco without Christian Watson? Yes, because they beat their ass.
Yeah.
We won both games. It's fine.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that they got Christian Watson and Bo Melton involved in the end around a little bit to change up the look instead of just Jaden Reed, who has not really been producing on them just because people are so prepared and ready for them. It's like we're stopping this, so beat us somehow else.
The other guy that I want to give some praise to for being available in the absence of Romeo Doubs is Malik Heath. Yeah. The catch that he made on the throw from Jordan Love in the corner of the end zone, that was a great throw, B, a great snag by Malik Heath. So that was a great connection between those two and a great play in general. If Romeo Doubs is to miss, and I agree with you, Bryant, that they should hold him out because don't play around with concussions, I think Malik Heath could be a factor.
Yeah. No, good call on him.
That was a good snag,
in the game too. That people are like, oh, it's garbage time. But, hey, that's a big confidence booster for Malik Heath. You know, putting another one on the board.
Catch. Don't give a shit if it's garbage time. Yeah. It's still a nice play.
That
was a nice catch. Yeah. Yep. All right. Looking at the passing game distribution, Jordan Love threw 22 passes, and there were still 10 different players targeted. Like, how do you account for that? Romeo Doubs had 6 targets. He had 3 catches. All of them went for first downs, like Brian said. Jordan Love was 100% when targeting Malik Heath, Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, Chris Brooks, and John Fitzpatrick. Love was 2 for 3 behind the line of scrimmage, 8 for 10 from 0 to 9. That's where one of the drops was. He was 2 for 3 from 10 to 19. It was 1 for 6 on 20+. There was one drop, and then there was the 2 deep shots before half. So if you kind of think about it, more like 2 for 4 should have been, kind of. And should have had a touchdown in there as well. So overall, the passing game distribution, again, I've not had a single complaint about this in the 2 years that I've been covering the passing game distribution from Jordan Love. So keep it up and hope to see more of it. Going to the offensive line, I'll go back to Bryant.
Yeah, really solid game again. All they do is continue to put up solid games. There's the 2 sacks. I would say one was definitely on Jordan Love. The other one was kind of a little mix of him not getting rid of the ball and O-line getting beat a little bit. I think it was Elgton Jenkins that got credited with the sack against. But overall, you know, Josh Jacobs had a big game. That means the offense line was blocking to some degree, right? So good job there. Good job pretty much keeping – anytime Jordan Love wanted to throw deep or anything, he had a clean pocket. Like that Christian Watson throw, he had a clean pocket. I will say for we look at PFF numbers because it's the easiest things for us to look at. They eviscerated Sean Ryan for some reason. I'm guessing so. A couple of the plays got running plays got blown up. I'm guessing there was a couple against Sean Ryan where he just didn't do well. I know he had the one penalty. Too. He had the one penalty, which hurts. They put a big negative to that. But Elgton Jenkins also had a holding call, I think. So just a couple penalties they need to clean up. But overall, once again, another solid game for the offensive line. And whenever Jordan Love, you know, has been. In 9 games he's played this season, he's been sacked 10 times. So when you have that number like that, that's a pretty good number. You know what I mean? So, and there's at least a handful of times I've come on here and said, yeah, Jordan just needs to do a better job of getting rid of the ball. One of them last week was he literally ran out of bounds 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage and it counts as a sack. So, like, that means 9 of the sacks he actually got taken to the ground. So
he actually ran into a sack this last week, too. Like, he ran into a defensive lineman in this game. So, I mean, is that really the offensive line's fault either? So, good point.
So,
very good.
Very solid.
Yeah.
I think PFF does a decent job of, like, not counting those sacks against the offensive lineman, too.
They don't. Yeah. So, the two you mentioned, the 2 sacks, only one of them was credited to a player, and that was Dalton Jenkins, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so transitioning from that into the run game, Simon, talk about the man of the day.
God. I don't know, this bum named Josh Jacobs who never scores or anything. He's just... Oh, man. It's so funny looking at the back at the starting of the season. I mean, this dude has... He had 26 carries for 106 yards, three touchdowns. He had 83 yards after contact.
And that's probably why our run blocking grade wasn't that high on some of our players.
Dude, yeah. On the season, he's got like 900 rushing yards and like 700 of them are after contact.
Yeah. Yep. And he forced, I think Tyler mentioned it earlier, he forced 12 missed tackles, which is absolutely insane.
That's ridiculous.
I'm kind of curious, and I'll look it up probably after this, what Saquon's numbers are, because I'm pretty sure like this last game, he wasn't touched on like a couple, like at
140
all.
Yards without being touched.
Yeah, or like something insane. So like Josh Jacobs is just like doing it all himself. Emmanuel Wilson had 9 attempts for 41 yards. He had 18 yards after contact, and he also forced 3 missed tackles. Chris Brooks had 4 carries for 11 yards and 10 yards after contact. So that's 113 yards. Contact just by the running backs. Damn. And they forced 15 missed tackles.
Jesus. A good day at the office.
Yeah. And then Watson and Melton each took an end around for 9 yards total between the two.
Saquon had 255 rushing yards on Monday, yeah. 156 after contact. So about 100 before and 150 after.
I mean, the 178 yarder or whatever, he got touched by one guy, and that counts as yards after contact.
Yeah,
so he got 78 yards on one play after contact. So I mean,
it's 100% to Darian.
Yeah, Darian.
Josh Jacobs has been so good this year for us.
Joining the Packers, he absolutely has, and I've been tempted to make the comparisons to Aaron Jones. I haven't done it yet, but I have been tempted.
Only reason I'm not doing it too is because Aaron Jones is actually having a solid year. Like he's playing like pretty well.
The top 6 running backs in yards this year, or it was close to it, all changed teams this year. Derrick Henry, Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon.
Dobbins.
All changed teams, and they're all like having huge.
That's insane.
Maybe running backs matter.
Yeah,
no,
maybe. Well, and like, you know, props to Gutekunst. Josh Jacobs has been a key difference maker on the offense. Xavier McKinney has been a key difference maker on the defense. So, yep.
Have you guys seen how many people are like shitting on the Giants GM this week? Just like dumping on the dude.
Rightfully so. Let's see.
Kind of deserves
Saquon has 1,300 yards rushing already and something like 1,600 all-purpose yards, 1,500. And then you have Xavier McKinney who has probably the highest rated PFF safety and then has 7 interceptions.
So I saw something earlier, like after the game, where someone did like the comp pick formula. They're not receiving a comp pick this year either.
What?
Yeah. Like they picked up too many people.
Josh Burns or whatever.
Holy shit.
John Runyon was one, right? That was this year.
And they paid him like $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they paid him $30 million.
They're not receiving a comp pick this year.
Man, talk about pissing your own pants. Holy shit.
Yikes.
That's bad.
Wow. Love that for them. Simon, is there anything else you wanted to say on the run game?
I hope Ryan's not listening to this. I feel bad. Like, I'm not trying to dump on the Giants, but holy shit. No, I'm good.
They suck. Well, you're allowed to say that.
All right, Jake, how did the Packers do on 3rd and 4th downs?
They started out incredible. I was going to say that. They picked up 6 of their first 7. They were on fire, picking up everything. Didn't matter what 3rd down. Didn't matter the down and distance. 3rd and 11, they picked up one of those. They picked up a 3rd and 10. Both of those went to Dobbs. Dobbs had 29 on a 3rd and 11 and 15 on a 3rd and 10. Picked up some 3rd and mediums, picked up some 3rd and shorts. And then the last 6, they did not pick up. And that was a little tough. 1 for 2 on 4th down. What's the play we were hoping for, Tyler, on 4th down there?
I wanted to see a craft shaft.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to see a craft shaft. That is questionable judgment by you.
Badly wanted to see a craft shaft.
But 6-13 on a day. When you look at it just from afar, 6-13, it's a pretty good percentage. When you hear that they started 6-7 and then 0-6, that's not good. I would like to even that out a little bit more. But starting 6-7 is a good thing, though. So hopefully they can keep the consistency at a higher rate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I can't say the same about the red zone because every time they got there, they scored touchdowns. So I love to see that. Packers were 5-for-5 in the red zone. Looking at it, Tucker Kraft scored the first touchdown. It was a great play call and great execution by Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft and just the offense in general on that play. Then you have a Josh Jacobs touchdown. Then you have a Josh Jacobs touchdown. Then you have a Josh Jacobs touchdown. And then you have the touchdown to Malik Heath on the fifth trip. So looking at it, the 49ers coming into this game were not a good red zone defense. And I said I would have been happy with 4 out of 5 trips. They scored on all 5, so even better. Obviously, it's perfect to score every time you get in the red zone. So nothing else you can ask for, and I'm just hoping that it becomes momentum for the Packers as they continue. So, Simon, I'll go to you first since you haven't been here in a couple of weeks. What did you think of Jordan Love's performance as a whole?
I thought he played pretty good. I think the numbers don't necessarily speak to the totality of his game. He did end up with a couple turnover-worthy plays that we already talked about. But I feel like, the Watson drop would have completely changed how people viewed him this game, in my opinion. Good play call by Matt LaFleur on the tight end screen, and Love to just kind of fit in there past the defensive end, and then Tucker Kraft just running over everyone. And then the dime to Malik Heath on the second touchdown throw was beautiful. And then I think Bryant mentioned it, but Dobbs, he had 3 third down catches all going for first downs. Like, that's – Dobbs is just so reliable on third down this year.
Yeah, very trustworthy. Bryant, how did you feel about Jordan Love?
Yeah, I mean, Simon hit most of it. I thought he played really well within the rhythm of the game, what was asked for him once we got more and more ahead. He got put in a couple bad positions to have to convert 3rd and 11, 3rd and 10. He threw absolute piss missiles to Romeo Dobbs. I mean, you can't ask for better throws. I'll say that throw to Watson was a dime. The one to Bo Melton was also a very good throw. It's just that the cornerback kind of got lucky and ran into it. He put the ball in a very good position against the one for Dobbs that was a penalty. I will say he had the couple turnover-worthy plays, like Simon said, the throw. He just said straight out that he didn't see the guy in the flat. Luckily, Christian Watson.
Watson broke it up.
Oh, yeah. Are we good? You hear me?
Yeah.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You guys are on black for a second. Circles. So I will say on the free play, shut up. On the free play that didn't turn out to be a free play, hopefully he goes back and watches that tape and is like, I have Tucker Kraft there who's like 6'5", 6'6". I should just throw that higher and make it to where only Tucker Kraft can catch that ball. Because that would have been a nightmare if they came back and said, oh, don't, you know, Devondre Campbell was jumping in the air like Mario and got off the field or whatever he was trying to do. luckily, that it just, you know, it ended up being all for naught or whatever because it wasn't a play. But overall, I thought it was just a super solid game.
Looking at the play, and I know people are like, oh, he would have had an interception if it wasn't for the penalty.
He knew
it. He wasn't going to not throw that ball somewhere. When you have the free play, you take the chance because you know it can't hurt you. But there's also a sliver of a chance that even if you have a bad throw, that you get like a Hail Mary situation where the ball gets tipped by a defender into the hands of a waiting offensive player. You take that chance.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing to lose in that situation. So as Tom Brady was saying it during the broadcast, just put the ball in play.
Yeah.
Just give a chance for something weird to happen, something lucky to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe I think that that ball's like if six there's inches higher.
Interference in the end zone, yeah, 5 yards is nice on a 12 men on the field, but I'll take a ball at the 1 yard line on a pass.
Yeah, so is another Josh Jacobs touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So exactly, yeah. I'm just saying if that ball is another 6 inches to a foot higher, I think only Tucker Kraft can get to it. So, but that's being nitpicky. If we're having to be nitpicky, that means he had a very solid game.
Yep. Looking at it, he could have been better under pressure. Not his greatest game under pressure, but he was 8-for-8 against the Bears last week under pressure. So, kind of just I guess maybe opportunity to be a little bit more consistent under pressure. So that'll be definitely something to keep an eye on this week. Other than that, the last thing that I wanted to say on Jordan Love was him running the quarterback sneak in a short yardage situation gives me full confidence that he's 100%. So, Jake, is there anything you wanted to say on Jordan Love? And then Simon has one more thing that he wanted to say yet.
No, I think you guys pretty much touched on everything. Just cut down on maybe the turnover-worthy plays, but he delivered a couple big-time strikes in this one, so you can't really complain too much. He was controlling the game at the line of scrimmage, making checks, calling on Mike linebackers. He was doing a nice job in the run game, setting up protection. So also want to give him credit. I actually learned what that play was called, that running play. I thought I wanted Simon to go a little bit harder on that. The orbital motion is what it's called. when they have Jaden Reed back there, I was like, dude, that is such a disgusting name, and it's such a sick play. They ran it like three times in the first half, and they were cracking off 7, 8, 9 plus yards every time they ran it. So he did a good job. We gave Malik Heath credit, or Malik Heath, Jesus. I got an argument with somebody who called Malik Keith Malik Willis. Now I just did the opposite. We give credit to Malik Willis for running that well. Jordan Love did the same thing. So good job by Jordan Love.
All right, Simon, last thing you wanted to say before we move into preview.
So we just talked about Romeo Doubs' reliability, and he has 34 receptions this year. 25 of them have gone for a first down.
Love that. Love that. I still think he's the Packers' most complete wide receiver. Like, he's the guy that can do the most. Looking at it overall, you know, the Packers do have a very talented wide receiver room, and we're going to transition into the preview. I trust all of them, but I trust Romeo Doubs the most, in my opinion.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go to the defensive side of the ball to start the Dolphins preview on Thanksgiving night. We'll have a very interesting look at the Bears and Lions to start the day off. That'll be an interesting if that ends up being a 30-point or larger margin of victory. Then you have the nap game, the Cowboys and the Giants, and then you have the Packers and the Dolphins on Thursday night. Jake is going to be there, actually, so maybe we'll start with Jake on what he's looking for from the Packers defense.
Well, I heard this interesting stat today, and I have to start with this. They were kind of breaking it down on, I think it was Cheesehead TV radio they were talking about it. I think it was Nagler talking about it. Talking about how on a short week, Miami, who is not traditionally good in the cold weather, has to travel from Florida weather up to Green Bay, and they're an old team. So now they have like 13 or 14 players that are over the age of 30. And then they have a couple of players who are five or six players who are age 29, and they have a lot less time to recuperate.
You know, yeah, that's the thing in a short week.
And they have to travel up to us in the cold. So that's got to be a major advantage for the Packers, any way you want to look at it. Packers younger, so their muscles are going to, energize and be better. sooner. In terms of defense, I looked at third down defense. Packers are 12th in the NFL, and Miami on offense is 10th in the NFL. So that's a good battle right there, two teams that are good on third downs. In terms
that's
of
that's got to be skewed.
What?
That's got to be skewed by the Tua being gone, though.
Yeah. Tua's been – yeah.
I'm not, like, trying to shout on your stat.
I'm
like,
not done yet.
Oh, my bad.
My bad. Over the last three, Miami is number 6 in the NFL.
Jumped the gun.
Percentage, and the Packers are 20th. Yeah, just calm down, okay? I cover all my bases. In terms of red zone, Packers have allowed 21 touchdowns on 35 attempts at 60%. That's 13th in the NFL. Miami offensively is 11th in touchdown percentage. Now, I got to ask you a question before I talk about pass rush. If the Packers pass rush had 2 sacks, 1 knockdown, and 2 hurries, would that be enough for you guys? Yes or no, simply?
A pass rusher?
No, just total pass rush.
Oh, did you say 2 sacks, 2 hurries?
2 sacks, 1 knockdown, and 2 hurries.
If they didn't throw the ball very much, sure. Like, if he only throws the ball like 20 times, sure.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you that Tua has been averaging 33 pass attempts per game in 7 games that he's played, and those are the averages that he averages per game. So in 33 pass attempts, he only gets sacked twice, knocked down 1 time in 2 hurries. I looked up his total times. He was knocked down, pressured, and sacked. So honestly, they do a really good job of getting the ball out of his hands because Tua only holds onto the ball for 2.1 seconds. 3
sacks,
I
think, is the number to get to.
I'm kind of foreshadowing to a guy, not Tua, that I'm going to talk about when we get to our matchups here. But the Packers pass rush has to get to Tua, and we have to blanket underneath coverage.
Oh, that's wow.
Personal opinion.
Oh, I just looked this up. What did you just say about his time to throw?
I found 2.1 seconds of pocket time.
Oh, so this might be a slightly different stat. He has the fastest time to throw per PFF of those that have at least 20% of dropbacks.
Yeah, because he's just throwing
it. He's getting the ball out of his hands.
Yeah. Okay. Simon, what are you looking for from the Packers defense against Miami?
Yeah, just the absolute speed of their players. Waddle's been – since Tua's been back, Waddle's been – back to his form, crushing it. Jonnu Smith's had some sort of fountain of youth or whatever he's going through where he's been killing it lately. And Devon Achane is one of the – probably the one of the best playmakers in the league.
Definitely one of the best young running backs in the league.
Yeah. I mean, he's not gonna be your bell cow 20-some, you know, touches a game kind of guy, but he'll get his, like, 15 or so. Mm-hmm. And he'll still find a way to take him for 100 yards. So just slowing down their play speed, playing discipline, and forcing their wide receivers to not be in a position they're supposed to be in. So jamming them at the line of scrimmage, forcing Tua to wait just a slight second longer to make his throws of where he's expecting them to be. They have a pretty formidable tackle duo, but their guards are kind of suspect. So I'm hoping this is like a Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark sort of game. So D-line needs to step up big.
So I'll jump in on the D-line right away looking at it, and this is going to kind of tie into the run game as well. But the Packers' D-line was much better against San Francisco, in my opinion. They did a really good job of helping limit Christian McCaffrey. The Packers had 19 stops, 6 of them came from the defensive line. They had 17 pressures, 13 of them came from the defensive line. My thing with the defensive line is they're going to have to keep the edges set against Devon Achane. Raheem Mostert only had 2 carries last week, only had 3 carries the week before. He's had a couple fumbles a little bit earlier in the season. And then looking at it, Jalen Wright, one of the rookie running backs we talked about when we were doing our draft prep, he had 7 carries last week, but he also had a fumble. So I expect Devon Achane maybe not to be a bell cow overall, but I expect him to be the guy on Thursday night. So that's what I'm looking for from the defensive line, is definitely going to be keeping him from getting into open space against defensive backs. So keeping that contained is going to be really important. Brian, what are you looking for from the Packers defense?
Yeah, you guys hit on a lot of the stuff I have, and that goes exactly to the quick play of Miami. just kind of harkens back to the Chicago game. I said, don't let them get a bunch of easy completions right in front of you. We cannot let that happen. So with these linebackers, kind of like, especially the linebacker core, I'm looking for is, for one, getting up middle up the pressure, or pressure up the middle as quick as possible. We talked about A-Chain. The guy's, he's a huge weapon out of the backfield catching the ball as well. He has 373 yards receiving and like 600 yards rushing, but he actually leads their team in receiving touchdowns. So he's going to be a problem there. So
interesting.
He's going to be, you know, linebackers need to really be ready to step up for the screen game and the short passing game. We have got to throw them off the rhythm. If we just sit there and play that little back, they will pick us apart. We'll have another game where we have seven possessions. The clock flies by and we're going to run into trouble. Miami is not the team that they are when they, Miami is a playoff team when Tua is the quarterback. This is, you don't let their, you know, 5-6 record or whatever fool you. They are a very good team. Tua has struggled in cold weather games. So he's 7-0 in games that are below 40, or 0-7 in games below 40 degrees.
I was going to say,
this game isn't going to be a little bit cold. It's going to be a lot of it cold. I'm sure Jake will bring that up shortly. But we just need to, you know, get in front of them and throw them off their timing. Don't let the dink and dunk. Just do not let it, because they'll kill you with it. And we've seen it a little bit happen with a couple of the big plays that San Francisco had, was the play to Debo, or the play to McCaffrey that he ended up fumbling on, right? So just be careful with those plays. But I will say, go for the ball. Try to punch the ball out. They've fumbled 17 times. So they've lost seven of them, but they've put the ground on the ball on the ground plenty of times. So go for this ball. It's going to be cold out. They're not going to be used to this. Try to punch that ball out.
Yeah. So, Brian, I'm going to stay with you on the special teams. What are you looking for from special teams?
Yeah, I didn't see anything too crazy of a stat on either side. I will say that their kicker struggled a little bit he's missed a couple from 40 to 49 and a couple from 50 plus. So it's going to be cold out. I don't know how much, you know, experience he has kicking in this type of weather. I'm not sure where he played college. I didn't look that up, so my bad. But, you know, hopefully we can force him into some long field goals and stuff. Because, you know, like I said, this team's going to move the ball. It's just, you know, we got to be smart. Make it hard for him.
Jason Sanders, he went to New Mexico.
A very cold state.
Yeah. Known for its coldness.
Yep.
All right. So going into the coaching part of it, I respect Mike McDaniel as a coach. I think he's been a little bit average this season. He kind of looked like he's dependent on his quarterback play a little bit to be at his best, which it is what it is. There's a lot of teams that are like that. Can't say that I think the Green Bay is one of them, though. I do believe that Matt LaFleur is the better coach between the two of them. And yes, the Dolphins have been better lately. But you look at their last three games, they played the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Rams. So, you know, the Rams are a decent team, and they are well coached, and they have good players. But overall, I don't believe that those are three good football teams. Other than that, looking at it, I'm also hoping that Anthony Campanile can give the Packers some insight to what the Dolphins defense is going to look to do. And even in addition to that, if Robert Saleh can provide some insight, because he was coaching in the division against Miami, playing them twice a year also. So I'm hoping the Packers coaches and the consultant can give the Packers a little bit of extra intel into what the Vikings are going to be doing. Okay. Going into the offensive side of the ball, Jake, what are you looking for from the Packers' offense against the Dolphins' defense?
So in terms of offense, I focus a lot on third downs, but I also wanted to talk about rushing yards. Since I've seen a lot of Packers fans clowning that Joe Barry is the run game coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, if you go by yards per game average, the Miami Dolphins are ninth in the NFL rush yards on average. So it's really not that bad. So the rush game is going to have to be good. In terms of third down offense, Packers 37.6%, that is 19th in the NFL. Miami defense 33.5%, that's sixth in the NFL over the last three weeks. Green Bay is 24th at 33%, and Miami is 10th at 35%. So those numbers are going to have to go up for the Packers. That's a big advantage for Miami, just looking at the hardcore numbers. Obviously, the games are not played on a stat sheet. They are played on the field. So As far as that goes, Green Bay is going to have to be closer to the 6-for-7 that they were in the first half versus San Francisco.
All right, Simon, what are we looking for from the offense?
Sorry, I was just looking at the Bucs game. No, Jake mentioned it. from the offense?
Yeah, so I think this will be a big offensive line game. Chop Robinson seems like he's coming on to coming into his own. He's had he's strung together a couple really good games.
My number one rusher in the draft.
Yeah. We talked a pretty good amount about him during the draft season.
Yeah.
And then Zach Sealer is also having a pretty good year. I know we talked a little bit earlier about the offensive line and how they played pretty well. Love had he was pressured on 44% of his dropbacks in the Niners game. So I'm looking for kind of like a return to form from the offensive line this week versus the Dolphins. Shouldn't have had those beers. the Dolphins. The Dolphins this week.
Yeah. Matthew said he's in Boston. He said he hopes the Packers beat the Fish. He says 27-20. We will get to our score predictions in just a little bit here, Matthew. But, Bryant, what are you looking for from the Packers offense against the Dolphins?
Yeah, so for the offense line, so I hear what Jake is saying about the Dolphins being pretty good against the run. However, they have given up 4.3 yards per carry. This is going to be some nasty weather. We'll see how ready they are and prepared they are to play in it. I know our guys should and will be prepared to play in it. So hopefully we can get that hard nose running going and we can make some hay on the ground there. And hopefully Josh Jacobs can, you know, do what he's been doing. I think it's 6 straight games. He's had 90 plus yards or whatever it is now, something like that, all purpose yards. So he's been very productive. Also, the Dolphins don't have a single pass rusher that's really, you know, Chubb Robinson's decent. We know how athletic he is. We talked about him in our, you know, draft preview and all that, but they have four guys that have 3.5 or more sacks, so two of them have 3.5, the other two have 4. So it's not like that, you know, so it's good versatility, but there's no one that straight up is like, oh, we got to, you know, watch out for this guy. So they have the 5th least sacks in the league. So hopefully Jordan Love will have some time that he needs. For the wide receivers, Miami's very good against the pass. They've only given up 11 touchdowns. They have 7 interceptions, which is, you know, not a huge number or anything, but they also only average 6.6 yards per attempt. But however, Kendall Fuller is likely going to be out of this game. So I think there is some opportunities to beat that slot cornerback and whoever is on the other side from Jalen Ramsey. Say what you will about Ramsey's age, that dude is still a stud. He's having a very solid year.
I have more numbers on the slot, actually. Some very interesting numbers just on the Dolphins defense as far as their passing defense goes. They're in the middle of the pack against tight ends, but I think they've only played 2, maybe 3 good tight ends the whole season. Trey McBride is good. Brock Bowers is good. And Dalton Kincaid, I think, is average to good.
Yeah, and I think they have a cornerback with like the last name Duck, and if we let him show us
Storm
up,
Storm Duck.
His first name is Smoke, isn't it?
Storm. His
name is Smoke Duck.
Storm Duck.
Storm Duck. That's what it is. Not Smoke.
Like pick two words out of a hat, and that's what they name their child.
That could be a Native American name for sure. Storm Duck.
We're about to target him a lot on Thursday.
I'm not here's how much. He's definitely not Native American.
Oh, here's boy. How much the Packers could target. So. The Dolphins have allowed, this is wild to me, in their slot coverage, they have allowed 33 receptions on 41 passes.
Yep.
That's 80.5% to the slot.
We hate that.
They've allowed 105.6 passer rating in the slot. I really think Jaden Reed could be in for a big game as far as the passing game distribution is concerned. And I'd like to see the Packers line up Christian Watson in the slot a few times this game as well. As for the red zone, Miami has the 7th ranked red zone defense at 48.28%. If Green Bay gets 5 chances like last week, I'd be happy with 3 touchdowns. Even if it's 2 touchdowns, as long as they're scoring points on all other drives into the red zone, I'd still be relatively pleased because Miami does have a pretty solid red zone defense. So going into it, Bryant, what are the injury designations to watch? I know it's kind of a tricky thing with the short week and everything, but who are we watching on the injury report?
Yeah, so Tyreek Hill popped up today, but it's like personal, so he'll be fine. He'll probably play, but Kendall Fuller is probably out. Jair Alexander is likely out. Cooper's likely out. Dobbs is likely out. McDuffie is likely out. So we're going to be pretty thin, but we're going to be athletic at linebacker because now Tyron Hopper is going to be forced into
Tyron Hopper season.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to have a lot of speed out there at with Eric Wilson, Quay, and Tyron Hopper, but we also have a lot of potential to miss some a lot of tackles. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And then Armstead hasn't practiced for them the first two games, so I'm not sure what's going on with him. That'd be obviously a big loss for them. So we'll see what kind of happens. Another one of their, I think the third leading tackler, only with 48, but Anthony Jr. He's also not likely to play. So definitely something we got to keep an eye on, you know, but Kendall Fuller is a big loss for them because that they are weak with their backup cornerbacks are not all that solid. And then there's, like we've talked about, their slot is not a superstar.
Justin wants more Bo Melton this week. I think it's going to be filling in for Romeo Dobbs is going to be kind of by committee. I do think Melton and Heath will both get some snaps. And I think just in general, we'll see more snaps of Dontavian Wicks as well.
Yeah, I think Wicks eats this week.
Yeah. I think somebody else eats, but we'll get into that. Jake, what's the weather going to be like? You're going to be in attendance. So what are you going to be dealing with?
Like 7 layers of clothes. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the second game I went to this year. I went to the game versus the Colts, the season opener, where it was like a billion degrees outside.
It was hot as hell. I was there too.
Oh, dude, it was so hot. I was like, this is horrible. I hate this place in the summertime. I don't actually. But I'm more naturally used to these later games, which I love. It's the best when it snows outside. Lambeau's a magical place.
It's like a living snow globe.
So what I found on the weather is mostly cloudy, low 19 degrees. Shout out to Bryant. He said real feel is going to be around 6 degrees. Winds west-northwest at about 10 to 15 miles per hour. And 80,000 screaming fans. So it's going to be awesome, and I'm very excited.
Then there's no way there's as many Dolphins fans as there was San Francisco fans. No way.
There's no way.
I feel like there's a weird contingent of San Francisco fans in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, they have a decent-sized fan base. I don't think it's that weird.
That's fair.
Like, they travel pretty well, too.
I didn't run into any nasty
the Rams, dude. Holy cow.
I didn't run into any bad fans. I know there can be some bad San Francisco fans for sure, though.
I heard some stories and saw some videos, but it does seem like overall.
You see that video where that kid won a signed football?
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco get together, and they just denied him because he was wearing a Love jersey. Like, that's kind of trashy.
Dude, did you see what he did to him, though? This kid's in eighth grade, and he goes, "What do you think about the 49ers?" And then he did the whole Dwayne the Rock. It doesn't matter what you do. Bro, you did that to an eighth grader, bro. You're weird.
He probably doesn't even know the reference.
No, there's no way.
I hope the Packers see that and send him something.
Yeah, me too.
Like a Jordan Love signed ball.
The Packers and the 49ers in a post.
Nice. So
maybe if it gets legs, I don't know.
All right. So, Simon, give me your matchup to watch.
I got Devon Achain versus the Packers linebackers, specifically because we're a little shorthanded this week.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Jake, what is your matchup to watch?
So if anybody says I'm not committed, I didn't have my notebook today. I had to write my stats down on a napkin today, people. On a napkin at work. It's all I had near me.
You went to lunch and you were like, I need to write this down.
Dude, I don't care if I'm leaving this lunchroom with spaghetti sauce on my face. I'm getting these notes down.
Dude, you guys literally don't believe me. I literally only think about sports and my 3-year-old daughter.
No, I believe it.
But anyways, I wrote down Achan's stats since Tua returned because I also have Achan versus the Packers linebackers. He's averaging 12.2 carries and about 60 yards. He has 2 rushing touchdowns. He averages 5 catches for 35 yards, and he has 4 receiving touchdowns. So that's 17 carries for 96.2 yards and 1.2 to 1.3 touchdowns per week.
Justin, how are you throwing shade? Said ill prepared. Imagine that.
Fuck you. So, I mean, he's going to touch the ball 17 to 20 times. He's going to get 100 yards, and he's probably going to get in the end zone. And I found this stat on Tua as well. He throws the ball 33 times. 15 of his 33 pass attempts go over 10 yards. So that means 18 of his pass attempts go under 10 yards. So we're going to have to be close, and we're going to have to tackle.
All right, Brian, what is your matchup to watch?
You'll like this one. Jaden Reed versus Kadar Kohu, or however the hell you say his name. And that's that slot cornerback, because I think we might be able to, you know, get open in the middle of the field and some, you know, against that cornerback. So I have Jaden Reed in the slot against him.
So I also have Jaden Reed in the slot, but I have Jaden Reed versus Jalen Ramsey question mark. So Jalen Ramsey has played 86 slot snaps. That's too many S's in a row all the season. And he's given up 9 receptions on 10 targets.
Oof.
So will they put Jalen Ramsey on Jaden Reed, or are they going to try to trust somebody else to do it? It's going to come up again, but I really think that Jaden Reed could be in line for a huge game. Mm. All right. Simon, who's your X factor?
Quay Walker. I think he, like we talked about, I think that was his best game of the season. So I'm hoping he can play. I mean, he has the athleticism to make some really good plays on Devon Achane in their backfield. So I'm hoping he comes up and stacks success.
Brian, I think that guy's name is Kuhu or Kohu. Kohu sounds righter. That sounds righter.
Writer.
Writer.
Oh, we're doing great. Right. We're doing great tonight.
We'll just be saying who by the end of Thursday. So who?
Oh, yeah.
I promise this is grape juice, not wine in this cup.
Oh, mine's straight up beer. I have front.
Justin said his matchup is Rashawn Gary versus Tua. The guardian cap thing. I really think he should be wearing one, but
I don't know. Understand why he's not wearing it?
Because choices.
Because it doesn't look cool. I don't know. I don't know what his reasoning is.
When your running back is wearing it because he's seen you go fully like stiff before, that should be your sign to wear the thing.
Yeah, yep. You literally scared the shit out of him so much you put one on. He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna put one on." Yeah,
yeah. It's seriously like, even if it's
about his kids and his wife,
even like, if it's only a 10 to 12% like reduction in chances, like, would you not take every single percent that you could?
Yep.
To protect your brain, like, you've seen what happens to guys who have a lot of brain trauma. Okay.
There's a reason he's getting the ball out fast. That's because if he takes another hit, they're scared.
Yeah. Bryant, who is your X factor?
Mine is Dontavian Wicks.
I like it.
I think that he is going to fill in for Romeo Doubs because he showed on that play, that slant play, that 25-yarder, that he's ready for that. This dude is – he is open if he catches the ball.
That route was –
Yes. So I think he's going to step up, and I think he's going to be an X factor this game.
I like it. Jake, who's your X factor?
It's going to sound kind of weird, but mine is the Packers offense taking Miami's offense out of its game plan. Just pure foot, you know, to the pedal, all the way through the damn floor. Let's score on our first touchdowns on our first 3 drives and force them to have to put the ball deep down the field where the Packers are playing a lot of cover two, and you're going to get in some – iffy situations where Tua's actually played pretty well. He hasn't turned the ball over much this year.
So my X factor is Tua. You mentioned Tua. He is the engine of Miami's offense.
Yep.
Miami looks really like a bottom 10 team when he's not on the field.
Yeah.
He has not played well in the cold. Brian mentioned it earlier. He's, what are they, like 1 for 9? In games under 40 degrees, something like that.
0 for 7.
He is 0 for 7.
0 for 7. Even better. In cold well games. So if he plays poorly, I believe that Miami is in trouble.
He's talking it big. He says, bring it on. So they're ready, you know, as much as you can get ready for it. I don't know if they're practicing in a freezer, but.
Did you see what Mike McDaniel said about it? How they're preparing for the cold?
Yeah, he's throw ice cubes.
Ice cubes in his pocket and throwing them at players.
That's so dumb.
He's like, he's obviously being facetious, but
yeah.
Again, you know, it's on the short week, so it's not even like they can get up to Green Bay early and get here on Thursday and be here until Sunday.
Yeah, they're not going to come up till tomorrow, right?
I would think probably tomorrow, yeah. So, yeah, looking at it, Simon, give me your score prediction from the head.
This is a hard game. Miami's been on an absolute roll. I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring affair. I got us winning 31-28.
Justin said his X factor is actually Jonnu Smith. That's a really good one to bring up as well. Bryant, what is your score prediction from the head?
Packers 28, Dolphins 24.
I think all of our scores are going to end up being really close. Jake, what's your score from the head?
Man, Brian, you're so close. I have 27-23 Green Bay.
I have 30-24.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Can you tell that we've been doing this for – this is now our third year doing this?
Yeah, we're all pretty close.
All right. Simon, what's your score prediction from the heart?
This is year three?
Yeah, because last year was our first year of having all the aspects separated. The first year we did it was kind of just everybody kind of free-for-all.
Yeah.
Heart, I got 34-24.
Only if she's 5'3".
Oh, my boy. Hell yeah.
Bryant from the heart.
31-21.
Oh, Jake?
Simon said it.
Hey. All right, I have 35-20.
35-20, okay.
This is going to end up being like a 49-42 game or some shit.
As long as we win, that would be...
I don't know.
I could easily see that being the case, being a shootout. Like, there's plenty of playmakers on both sides of the ball. All right, let's get bold. We'll start with Bryant because Bryant loves giving the Simon Says bold prediction. So, Bryant, go to you first. You can pick if we start offense or defense.
Yeah, I kind of foreshadowed this one.
He showered before it.
Yeah. Proud of you. I had post nut clarity on my bold prediction.
Oh boy.
Dontavian Wicks goes for 100 yards and a touchdown.
You know how sick that would be. Does Dontavian Wicks have 100 yards like in a game ever?
No. Yes,
probably.
I feel like he had one last year.
No, I think he had the big game versus the Bears where he had the two touchdowns, but that was a low yardage game. I don't know,
he's got to have at least one. All right, I'm just going to jump in because I have a wide receiver one as well. I foreshadowed it with my matchup and the slot. But I have Jaden Reed for 125 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay, I like it.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. But they're bad against the slot.
He hasn't done it in a while. He hasn't had a really, really good game in a while. Or, well, like, not, like, production-wise. I mean.
Jake, what do you got?
So I have Jordan Love reminds everybody that he's the Pookie Bear and he belongs in MVP talks. I literally wrote that down and I felt weird saying it.
You should.
He throws for 300 plus yards and three touchdowns.
I'm down for it.
Can definitely see that.
He had a 97
game last season of 97 yards.
Yeah, I was just
and a 91.
And 91.
Yeah,
that would be his first career 100 yard game then.
Really close.
That'd be sick.
Simon, you got one for offense?
No, I have a defensive one.
Okay. Rip it. Just rip it. We'll go to you right away.
Packers hold A-chain under 60 yards from scrimmage.
Cool. We're going to beat
if
their
that happens, we win.
I feel like that could happen, but it would be game script dependent on if they decide to give Mostert the ball again this week.
I don't think that's game script dependent at all. Because, like, he's so good in the passing and running game.
I guess I meant game plan is probably a better word than game script. Like, if depending on how much the Dolphins use Mostert.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Game plan would have been a better word, not game script. Justin said Jacobs runs for 160 and two touchdowns. Reed has 85 and a touchdown. Could definitely see that.
You want to know how I still find a way to lose my fantasy game.
All right, Brian, what do you got on defense?
Xavier McKinney gets his 8th and 9th interception.
Oh, my God. That'd be so awesome.
Let me jump in.
Dude, you got to turn one to the house one of these weeks, man.
Let me jump in because I also have an interception one. and it's the Packers sent Tua home unhappy on another holiday for three interceptions. 2 years ago, the Packers played the Dolphins on Christmas, and he had three interceptions in that game. That was when we got the Jair post-game interview. He's like, oh, man, I see number 10. He overthrew it.
I love that. That's when every time I see that, I definitely I watch it.
Watch it. I watch it every time. We should share that again before the game on Thursday. I'll write that down to write. Put that out. I see it. Oh, he overthrew it. And then he takes off. Oh God, Jair is so funny. All right, Jake, what do you got on the defensive side of the ball?
So it's not really a defensive one, but I do have one. Jordan Love gets his turkey leg, baby.
Oh yeah, I'm down for it.
I had to bring it up. I had to bring it up, dude.
I hope they give him two, and he's like fucking double fisting.
Just coolest thing ever. Just give him a whole turkey, bro. Give him the whole fucking thing, dude.
He takes a duck leg. He takes a turkey leg. He's like,
Justin said Evan Williams has a strip sack and McKinney gets a pick. Gary has two sacks.
Oh, that'd be so sick. That's a win right there.
That's going to be hard to get Tua that much.
Yeah.
Unless we're jamming him at the line and making him hold the ball.
Yeah. Oh, what's the
I think the interior is where they're a little bit weaker, so I think there's potential for a Kenny Clark, a Devontae Wyatt, maybe even a Quite Walker sack.
Is Williams even rushed the pass this much?
All right. Anything else you guys want to throw out there as I try to phonetically spell out?
Right here. One Wisconsin team got a win over a Miami team this week. Now it's the Packers' turn to finish the sweep off, as the Bucks and Packers did that to Chicago a couple weeks ago. Now we got to do it to Miami. So all things are good up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean, think about it this way: the Packers have six games remaining. If they go 3-3, they're guaranteed to make the playoffs, essentially.
Yeah,
that's three true. Of those games are at home. Take care of what you need to do at home, because the road games we have left at Seattle, at Minnesota, at Detroit are not easy. So take care of your business at home. So not saying you want to go on the road and lose, but don't make it to where you have to go on the road and beat one of those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seattle's kind of hitting that. I think that'll be interesting.
That'll be an interesting game.
And Seattle's probably fighting for their division too.
It sucks. We have Detroit next Thursday night. It's kind of another weird. I love the mini bye against them, but at least they have the same short week too as us.
Yep.
Except for both theirs are home games.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you again for tuning into another Tuesday evening edition of Wisco Fanatics. Definitely stay in touch with us. We have some things that we're working on behind the scenes. We're very, very interested as to what we're going to be able to do as far as 2025 is concerned, but we can guarantee we'll be here Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And thank you again for tuning in, commenting along. Justin, we appreciate all the comments, and we will see you guys next Tuesday. Go Pack, go.
I won't.